Blog Talk Radio.
Someday.
How's it going, everyone? Hey, you know, it's Tobias. Some of y'all know me as T. Smitty. Welcome to the show for those who are going to be listening live. And also, you know, could be listening to these podcasts, you know, downloads. Let you know the guest number is 347-850-1065. That's 347-850-1065. A couple of things that I want to touch on here was looking at, you know, this presidential election that's up. And it's just, you know, as a black man, I'm looking at how this may affect black people. Excuse me. In a way, I say, reason said something about looking at for black people is because Donald Trump has a legit shot of winning and becoming president of the United States. You may not believe it. You may not want it to happen. Nor am I a supporter of Donald Trump. But it can happen. It could really happen. And then I see so many black people out there voting for whoever's out there based on fear of Donald Trump potentially winning. And I believe that's a problem. Because as a people, we need to stop voting based on fear. We need to stop voting based on someone possibly being the boogeyman. We need to vote based on black empowerment, who will do something for black people. If you're not going to do anything for black people, why are we voting for you? The days of Democrats saying, oh, vote for us because we'll protect you from these racist Republicans, those days are done. They are done. And, you know, Republicans really don't care to black people because they know they're not getting our vote anyway. So here's a disconnect here between us as a people. And I bet you wonder, why do we continue to vote based on fear? And in my opinion, it's one simple solution. It's that we have failed to get our finances in order, build an economy. Because a lot of people think voting is power. They also say, oh, our ancestors fought and died for the right to vote. Here's the problem. I admire the courage, the strength of our ancestors to fight for the right for us to vote and participate in the political process. But the problem is that we're missing something here, and that something is the dollars to back those votes. Because now I'm not a big President Obama supporter, nor do I have any beef with the guy, but here's some things to consider. You ever wonder how the Latino population keep getting stuff pushed and their immigration reform issues addressed? Money. People cutting checks. Because the reason I touched on them real quick, remember when the same Donald Trump was making those slick comments about Latinos, Mexicans, all that stuff? Correct me if I'm wrong for, you know, whoever might end up in the chat room or whoever listens to this podcast. I remember Carlos Slim coming out, and many people, if you don't know who that is, he's one of the richest people walking on the face of the planet. He's not a preacher. He's not a celebrity. He's not a basketball player. The reason I brought that up is this man is a mover and shaker, Carlos Slim. Carlos Slim is going to battle you economically. He's not going to battle you with Jesus, goodwill, hope everything works out. Mm-mm. He's going to use their money, and you know, Donald took a hit. Because believe it or not, in my opinion, I'm not a part of that community, so I'm just giving my opinion. And I'm not speaking for them, but they have their own communities. They have their own you know, economic basis. Why should they fear him? What are they going to do? They have their own stores. Because I live in Phoenix, Arizona. high Mexican population. There are communities all over that city where you have a Mexican grocery store, auto shop, schools, doctor's offices, all kinds of things where they service their people. It may not be Albertsons or Safeway, but it's theirs. Also, the other group I'm going to look at real quick are the Asian community. Is the Asian community, I'm sorry. Look at the economic footprint they have for themselves. Just think about this for a second. We all been to Chinatown, most people. Where's the black business in Chinatown? There aren't any. They're taking care of their own. They aggregate their resources. Just like out here in Phoenix, where I'm at. There's like, remember this lady I dated. And we bought some lobsters in this Asian grocery store. And I told her, peep game on this. They had like, you know, your nail shops. They even had like a dental office written in Vietnamese. Along with, you know, that grocery store. And besides the one white guy cutting meat, everyone else was Asian. And their kids was working there. And D.C. cities like Chicago where black boys, black teenagers, had like a 95% unemployment rate. We aren't doing that for each other. We haven't built those things. Nor have we put money in people's pockets to buy policy. Because if you got one group here, it's willing to put money up and buy policy. But you have another group that isn't going to put anything up. Who do you think they're going to go with? That's Obama, Clinton, Trump, whomever. And I'll say this real quick to take the call and let you guys know again. Number is 347-850-1065. And don't know how long I'm going to be here tonight, but I just want to come up here and chop it up with you all. One group I want to touch on, the group that black people love caping for, are the Native Americans. I'm not knocking them, but we got to get over this, try to join in with them, along with joining Latinos. I could tie in both. We have Bernie Sanders out here saying that he can't give us reparations, or he won't touch it because reparations of black people too divisive. But he did, you know, what's going on with Jewish people getting it for the Holocaust survivors, which didn't happen in this country. But back to Native Americans. The story came out recently out of New Mexico where the government settled with them for $1 billion. Yes, those Native Americans that you all talk about who are so oppressed, who are so hurt. Think about this. They get $1 billion. And then you go around the country. I think like 30 to 32 states have legalized like casinos, gambling. A lot of those are Native American owned. That means, and if you guys don't know, they pay little to no taxes on those. Even my home state, Alabama, they ain't paying taxes. But you know what they're also doing? Employing their own. Their own people are having jobs. That money is staying there. Look at it. You got restaurants in there. You got hotels in there. You got your valet parking. May have a young guy make a little bit of money. You most likely have like a convenience store, gas station over that way. It's their own little neighborhood. They have that. And do you see too many black people working there? No. So my point is we need to stop trying to join up with everyone. And we got to look out for ourselves first. We can't save people if we're not saving ourselves. And just think. And with the title of the show, I was talking about the lesser of two evils. Lesser of two evils is still evil, in my opinion. It's still evil. Evil is evil. Nice evil or abrasive evil. It doesn't matter because it's still evil. Yeah, think about how this, like I was saying, affect black people. We have a candidate in Donald Trump who's most likely going to be your Republican nominee. You can pretty much book it. Versus most likely it's going to be Hillary Clinton. Now with Trump, I hear black people beating on the horn and say he's racist, he's a bigot, blah, 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 blah. And I've asked black people, excuse me, what did he say that was so racist about black people? What did he say? I have not defended the man, and I'm not condoning what he said about other groups. I'm talking about black people. What is his political record when it comes to black people? Now, I know people say it's on housing discrimination, things of that sort. Now, I haven't looked into all that yet, so I can't really speak on that. If it happened, that stuff needs to be out there. And it's up to us to put that stuff out there. Because you cannot depend on these white news outlets. Because see, you guys think Fox News and CNN and MSNBC are all different. They're all the same. They just speak differently. Because if you don't believe me, pay attention to how CNN covered the uprising in Baltimore after Freddie Gray was killed. They were calling young black boys thugs over there as well, including your black president, which I get on in a minute. The reason I brought up Trump first is I strongly believe the media is using him as like fodder, like a scare tactic for you all to vote for the Democratic nominee like Hillary. Now, I don't know what any policies Trump has said he's going to bring up besides build a wall, whatever. But look at what's been happening to us black people. We keep talking about, well, we gotta vote for Hillary. You can't get Trump in office. Man, things are gonna be worse. Well, let me ask you all this. How much worse can it get? Think about it. For 7 years going on eight, we had a black president. First black president. I'm not saying he's the worst president ever, but when it came to black people, nothing got accomplished. And we voted for him at over in record numbers in the high 90 percentile. So much for voting is power. And one thing I'll throw up about that is around 9 days after he got inaugurated the first time, President Obama signed the Lilly Ledbetter Act for women to get equal pay. Problem is, black women still aren't getting equal pay as white female counterparts. Heck, white women make more than black men. Just think about that. But does he ever speak up on that? Of course not. Do those white feminists speak up on that? Of course not. Do you hear CNN, MSNBC, or even your beloved Melissa Harris Perry even speak on that? She's supposed to be this black feminist, but where is she on that? See, the issue is, think about this. Now you guys are stuck, scared, voting for Hillary. And she has gone on record saying black youth are like super predators. Stood by her husband when he came up with the harshest sentencing ever. It's worse than Reagan and the Bushes. But yet, y'all gonna vote for her. But I want to take, hey guys, this again, number is 347-850-1065. Like I said, I don't know how long I'm gonna be here, but I'm gonna try to be here as long as I can. Hit the number one, let me know you're there. And we got a call here, 215-279. Welcome to the show, 215-279.
Good evening, folks. First, my disclaimer, the views and opinions expressed by Don Calypso do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of T-Smitty, Blog Talk Radio, its advertisers, or affiliates. You guys will be offended by things I say. It's inevitable. Do not send T-Smitty any hate mail. And ladies, remember, T-Smitty is not your baby daddy. So with this being said, I did miss part of the show. I apologize. I was still at work. I'm driving on the way home. So forgive the background noise. But
that's cool.
It's not that the black. It's not, you know, we said, it's not that vote is totally powerless. I think the problem is, from the vantage point of a foreign observer, because I'm not a U.S. citizen, I think black people, they misplaced their vote. I mean, it's nice that they came out in record numbers to vote for Obama in 2008, but the problem, I think, from what I see, it seems like the black vote, black people only seem to come out every 4 years thinking that voting for president is going to make a change, when where the vote really counts is at your municipal, county, state level. And this is where Eric Holder lost that Supreme Court, that case against the Supreme Court for voting rights. So you got a lot of states where they're changing their laws to make it harder for black people to vote. And so it doesn't really matter who you have as president. It matters more as to who you have for your mayor, your governor, who you have in your city council. And this is where Negroes seem not to pay attention. Because while, for example, the judges that are at the federal level of the Supreme Court, they're appointed for life, but the judge that will sentence you to jail but will let a little white boy go easy for the same offense, at the local level, that guy is elected. If Negroes went to vote for those kind of elections and paid attention, they could actually exercise a lot more power. So I'm not going to say voting doesn't count. Yeah, when you think about president, yeah, popular vote doesn't really mean a thing because it's really the Electoral College, and those people are bought and paid for, you know, by the powers that be. Yeah, it doesn't, you know, ultimately, whoever is in Congress, it may not affect you directly, your everyday life, but for stuff that affect you directly, yeah, if people pay more attention to their state, county, and municipal, then yes, it would make a difference. Now, as far as, you know, Donald Trump versus, you know, Hillary, you know, is it choosing the lesser of two evils or the evil of two lessers? Yeah, you know, this is more like the Circus Maximus to pacify the Roman people while the barbarians were storming the city gates. But maybe if Negroes paid more attention to local elections, that would make a difference. But again, I'm not a citizen. I cannot vote, and it's a damn shame I have to educate you ignorant Americans on how your own government works. So if you're offended, again, do not send T-Smitty hate mail.
Hey, man, good point. And one thing I always bring up is, and for example, I always look at the economic side of it. Even the local, these groups are putting their money where their mouths are. Because like where I'm from in Alabama, they got some Native American casinos there. And my mom was telling me this, and like I said, tax-free, employing their own. But a casino that was a Native American owned, like a dog track, like, you know, Victory Land, got closed down. It was in like a poor county where Tuskegee, Alabama is, where University of Tuskegee is. Lost like thousands of jobs and shut it down. And we probably got our own opinions why. But the Native,
I got a question for you, though. When you say about those Native American, because one of the things Tariq Nasheed has mentioned a few times, you said don't fall for the okey-doke, because a lot of those so-called Native American-owned casinos, it's really, you know, back in the days when they had the, you know, when the white people paid $5 and they could claim they were 1/8 Choctaw, 1/8 Cherokee, and they got considered to be Native American and got all those benefits. So a lot of times it may say that it's a Native American owned. Yeah, you may have some Native American people employed, but the real money is still being made by some crooked white person. But I didn't want to gossip, so you didn't hear that from me.
Yeah, and see, what point was getting at is that I forgot how much money my mom said those casinos put up to the local government, so they would open up the Victory Land back open again. And cause they try to keep that, and they didn't do that with goodwill, just simply voting. They put their money up. Now, I don't know what happened, but they put their money up. And I just believe that with us, is that it seems like us as a people, we are afraid to demand things from our politicians and hold them accountable. We don't even get mad. We just like ostriches putting our heads in the sand. And while all these other groups are getting there, or getting addressed at least, I just believe it's like, and see, the point I'm going to make is, you're going to have a white president in office. Probably won't have another black president in our lifetime.
What? Trust me.
Yeah, and how can we ask for policies and demand anything from the white president if we never, as a people, even ask for anything from the black one? In two terms.
That's something for you American citizens to figure out. I'm just a foreign observer.
Yeah, but it's something to think about, because, like, you see these Black Lives Matter activists. Well, I got my own opinion about them. I'm like, why are you interrupting Trump, Hillary, and Bernie Sanders when you had a sitting black president in office for two terms?
You know, again, I hate to sound like I don't want to sound like I'm dick riding Tariq Nasheed, but, you know, I listen to this podcast weekly, and, you know, one of the points he made, and I noticed it's not just here in the U.S. I think it's a problem. It's one of the side effects of melanin, I think, worldwide, is that us melanated folks, we have this thing about symbolic victories.
Mm-hmm.
Where we're all about the symbolism and not the concrete. So I think that's what the issue is. People were so caught up in the symbolism of finally a black president that they never thought, you know, it didn't dawn on them that, hey, you still got to hold them to task. It never dawned on them that, hey, wait a second. We criticized George W. Bush and everything, but under the Bush administration, I think there are probably more black people placed in powerful government positions than under Obama. You know, people constantly criticize Bush about, oh, he's all about big business. But think about this. Yeah, there's corruption, crony capitalism, but big business, it was all those different private industries that hire people in the private sector that generate, you know, income tax and stuff. But who did Barry O put in his cabinet? It was mostly a lot of Wall Street people, you know? Mm-hmm. It wasn't even big business. It wasn't big business that's in the business of creating products for consumption. It was people who were in the business of manipulating money and screwing people over. You know, mm-hmm. I think there were a lot less black people put in significant positions than, I mean, come on. You had two black Secretary of State under Bush.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have that under Obama. What high-ranking black person has been? Okay, Attorney General, but other than that, Attorney General Eric Holder, who lost the case against the Supreme Court. If you guys check out the Lance Curve show on his YouTube channel, we talked with Dr. Ramona Brockett. They go in depth about that, how the Attorney General under Barack Obama pleaded with the Supreme Court, because, you know, every so many years they have to re-sign that law that allows black people to vote, which is only mm-hmm. at the federal level. It's not enforceable by the states, so the states can do whatever the hell they want, and he lost that. So, you know, gays got their marriage equality rights and stuff, but black people lost the right to vote. But Negroes were too much basking in the symbolism of we got a black president, so, you know, they fell for the okey-doke.
Yeah. Hey, you just gave me a good show idea I might do Sunday. Talk about the president, because right. I wanted to talk about that as well.
But, hey, I'm just a foreign observer, remember.
Yeah, and you know how I feel about the symbolism, because the symbolism is great the first time out. Okay, you got it. You got it for that first month or so, first couple of weeks. That's all he got in, down to business. Because the reason I say that is that us the people, it's saying, correct me if I'm wrong here, It seems like that we're the only group in this country, the black Americans, who are afraid of Donald Trump being president. Because these other groups are voting for him. Latinos are voting for him. Women are voting. People are voting for this guy. And I just believe part of it is that, part of it to me is it's a celebrity, but also is that, let's just be honest here. He's not sounding PC and buttoned up like everybody else. He's talking like angry white guy. And the thing go ahead.
No, I was going to say, he's given the angry, bitter white supremacists who got tired of, you know, being censored by the politically correct left, he's given them a voice. And Negroes are afraid because he's got, it is a known fact that he has the backing of white supremacist groups like the Klan and neo-Nazis and so on and so forth, you know.
Yeah, and
all those hillbillies who tout that the South will rise again, they're all behind Trump. But they forget that, you know, Democrats are not any better. I mean, Negroes are for some reason beholden to the Democratic Party. I mean, the same Democratic Party that when Eisenhower, which technically you could say Dwight Eisenhower was the real first black president because his mother, turns out, was a mulatto. And, you know, if you go by the one-drop rule, Ike Eisenhower was black. He was Republican. He tried to put a voting rights act, a civil rights act for black people before Kennedy. It was the Democrats who blocked it, including JFK and RFK. I think they were in the Congress at the time. And when JFK had to pass the civil rights act, you know, people say, oh, the Democrats did that. He had to make an alliance with Republicans to block his fellow Democrats from doing the filibuster to stop it. How the fuck is it that I'm a foreigner and I'm aware of this shit and most Americans are not?
Because if most Americans rely on CNN, Fox News, MSNBC.
Well, as much as I hate Hotep Negroes and the so-called conscious community, I hate it when they always like say, oh, do your research. But, you know, I'm gonna paraphrase those guys and say, do your research, America, you know, black America. Do your research on your country's history. Understand what's going on. You know? Oh, and here's another thing, which Dr. Ramona Brockett brought up on the Lance Gerf show. Why is it, how come Barry O is not making any effort to try to put forth a black woman for a Supreme Court justice? I mean, you know, he nominated a Latina woman, and that Elena Kagan woman, now, you can't judge a book by its cover, but I don't know, she looks kind of butch and very masculine to me, so, you know, so for all I know, we got a lesbian, we got a Latina. I think there's already a Supreme Court justice from before who was Jewish. I mean, how come there's never been a black woman? There's been white women, Latino women, but no. If he did that, even though a judge is not a legislator, but it could have a lot of positive repercussions. And irrespective of her political views, how come he hasn't, you know, proposed to nominate a black woman? You know, it could be another symbolic bone to throw to the black community, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it would be just symbol. Yeah, honestly, in my opinion, I believe it would just be merely a symbolic gesture because they'll be vetted. Look at Loretta Lynch. Well, she's like the first black female attorney general. And what did she do as soon as she got in? Hey, I'm worried about the morale of police officers. No matter what, they kill an unarmed black people and walking away free. So I just want to tell people, if a black female features potential Supreme Court justice, and she's about, you know, want to help black people, let's just say make the Voters Right Act a permanent thing and not have it be brought before every so many years to be renewed, fine. I can roll with that. But I don't want just someone here just sitting another black person in a high place, a black face in a high place.
Well,
we have so many.
You know what? I mean, again, if Negroes paid attention in the U.S. history and civics class, I mean, as far as you know, why don't they try to push for some kind of referendum to do stuff like that? Or, you know, I mean, that's why you have your elected officials, you know, they could push for it. But of course, again, if they paid attention at their local, you know, it depends on their municipal, county, state level, Black people could do a lot more to have an influence, you know? But instead of just relying on whoever is president, the president, and remember, I don't know if you remember, back in the days on BC's channel, it was me, Ronan, and Alvin. We did a show way back when Obama was first elected. We hosted a show on Article 2 of the Constitution talking about the duties of the president. The president represents the U.S. to the international community. Yes, the president ratifies bills when Congress submits it after it's been approved by the House and Senate. The president can veto or ratify, but Congress can still override the president. Negroes need to stop getting this idea in their head that the president is some kind of an autocratic monarch who just can make legislation. The president does not make legislation. You know, and Obama, I'm sorry, this is going to break a lot of Negroes' hearts, but Obama showed his weakness when he failed to pass the Health Care Act that he could have had his way in his first term before that midterm election when there was a supermajority where the Democrats had the House and the Senate. They could have passed anything they wanted, no matter what, how, even if all Republicans voted no. Instead, like a total pussy, he was doing that whole, oh, let me reach across the aisle and try to make it sound like, oh, I can't get the acting pass because the Republicans don't want to work with me. And then what happened? He got the shellacking in the midterm election. So obviously, him being president was totally symbolic because he did not have control of his own party.
That's true.
I'm not a politician. I'm not a political science major in any means. I'm just a freaking scientist. I'm a biologist. That's what I am by trade. That's what I do. But it doesn't take even a college degree to notice that, hey, this guy was not in control of his own party. I don't know.
Yep.
Somebody else is pulling the string. And Negroes, again, just because he had a black face there, they needed the powers that be, whoever's really pulling the string, they needed a Negro in the White House so they could do what they did so people would be crying racism and all that. And it worked beautifully.
Mm-hmm. Trojan, it's like a Trojan horse.
Well, what do I know? I'm just a foreign observer. You know? But Negroes complain. You know, like Tariq said, what Tariq said, she said, don't vote. That doesn't mean you don't vote at all. It's just neither of those candidates are worthwhile. Look up other options. There's a site, politics1.com. There's a list of different parties outside of the Pussycrats and Refuglicans. But I bet you most need it.
And my whole thing on this current president, and you're right about that, because you had a supermajority Democrat. He should be pushing everything. So don't come crying at me talking about you being blocked on everything when black folks can't even name what's being blocked. You know, so my thing is that Democrats have never done anything. I don't know the last time a Democrat's done anything for black people. But we keep giving them undying, like unwavering support, unconditional love.
Correct. They have done stuff for black people. They created the Klan, and they killed black people. That's what they've done. The Klan was not started by Republicans. Pay attention, folks. Read your history.
Yeah. And people want to make it look like. See, the problem is, it's like when people talk about Trump, for example. I don't like the one thing about Trump. That he does that I actually admire, no matter how egregious the things he says it, and it's like, what you gonna do to have enough money saved up where you can't do nothing to me? You may take some, but I'm still good. I'm not afraid of losing a job. But why you got players like LeBron James who can't even say it's a shame that, you know, condemning the Cleveland Police Department for a 12-year-old Tamir Rice, who's around the same age as his oldest son, who got gunned down like 2 seconds. You got Negroes that are making over hundreds of millions of dollars and are afraid to say what's on their mind.
Well, look, honestly, look, this is, here's the thing. I'm tired of people talking about, well, why did LeBron James say that? LeBron James, look, he's a freaking...
He's an employee.
He's an athlete. He's an entertainer. That's not... if they want to use that platform, that's fine. But no, that's not his job. That's why you got those politicians you hire. And if they don't do the job, fire them. Vote their asses out. Again, this is where the vote matters, but Negroes don't pay attention to that.
Done. Here's the thing. And the reason, like, I just say that with LeBron, for example, is that at the end of the day, I was like, all right, but you can holler about France, you know, or stuff like that. And so my thing is that, see, what happens is that Donald Trump he owns his own stuff, you know. I'm not going to go on rant about black business, whatever, like that. But, like, LeBron James, at the end of the day, is employed by the same people. So, when you look at it on the surface, what do you expect these people to speak out on? How you expect, like, even Chris Rock, how you expect them to really speak out against people who sign their checks? So I heard a man, I think it's Professor Black Truth, said, if a man who can't speak his mind, he's not a free man. No matter how much money you get paid, if you're afraid to speak your mind because you're afraid of losing your job, especially that high up on the food chain financially, that says a lot. And, now, I'm not expecting this guy to become like Nelson Mandela or like Nat Turner or anything, but there's no need to be afraid. You know, and I believe, like, if Donald Trump was being afraid of tap dancing, he wouldn't have gotten this support as well. And, because a lot of people are upset with President Obama over that stuff. Like, dude, quit tap dancing. Say how you feel. Say it with your chest. You know?
Well, look, people, you know, black people show all that loyalty for him because, yeah, he's black, you know, he's got black skin. But first of all, the guy's a mulatto. You know, in America, this is the only place where he got the one drop rule. He's a mulatto. You know how black folks go, your mama black. Well, guess what? His mama white. He was raised, you know, and you know how people say, oh, well, Barack Obama was raised by a single mother. Wrong. His mother didn't really raise him. He was raised by his grandmother and grandfather, who were both white. So, yeah, he got black skin. Yeah, he lived in Chicago when he met Michelle, but guess what? He was, I mean, culturally, the dude is white, all right? He is being loyal to his people. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know what's hard to get.
And someone was telling me it's like, he was raised by his white grandparents, and they were saying it was racist. And I had a theory about that. It's that because a lot of times, no matter how wrong are the people who raise us may be, we still try to gain their acceptance in a lot of cases as people. And so he could, because I remember I watched a story about him when he first ran, a guy was deployed at the time. So when you deploy, believe it or not, you actually have a lot of free time. A lot of sitting around. And it was talking about how President Obama, like his younger days, how he didn't tell people his name was Barack. He was saying his name was Barry. Because he was struggling with that. And that's something that I can't speak on because I'm not in that situation. But I just had my spidey sense tingling. I was like, he has a struggle there, and maybe he was trying to get acceptance from his folks, kind of people he's raised who are white.
Yep.
So, and I'm not knocking that or anything, you know. He didn't choose the cards he was dealt. Or, like, even like now with Michelle, there's a lot of symbolism because people were like, oh, man, the first family, black family. And I'm like, one, the more we in the social media age, the camera phones and everything, more first ladies are going to be visible now. Families are going to be more visible now. And I'm proud of the accomplishments that she made, that she has for herself. But at the same time, behind the symbolism, the swag, the Dougie, and the wobble, how have our lives improved? And the question I have is, in the number 347-850-1060, 1065. That's 1065. Question is, why have we refused to come together economically so that we could buy politicians? I don't care the guy, Republican, Democrat, he hate black people. We could pay you to do what we want. He may not like me when he gets home, but I bet he likes that money.
Because I suppose Negroes don't even understand how the political system works. Yeah, I don't
elaborate.
Think the concept of that you buy politicians. I think I think too many Negroes see just government as Big Daddy that hands you stuff. They don't realize that the government works for the people, or at least that's what it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I think that's what the problem is.
And the problem is that I just believe people, you know, we look at it, say, like, you're right about that. Well, they're going to do this, they're going to do that. But you have to make them. And I always point back to Eric Cantor. He was one of the highest-ranking Tea Party people in Congress. Wasn't doing what the Tea Party wanted. Guess what? He was out of their next election.
Well, again, if black people voted in all elections, not just the presidential, if they paid attention, voted for the midterm congressional stuff, if they voted, and also at the state level, because, again, everybody, dog and pony show, everybody's so focused, if they're not watching CNN and Fox, and they're watching C-SPAN, okay, so you're seeing what's going on in Congress. How many people even know who their state representatives are and their state senators? How many people even know who their freaking governor is? I mean, that matters too. That and both things have more of an impact on your everyday life than those 535 clowns on Capitol Hill, or those nine clowns at the Supreme Court, or the one clown at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. You know?
Yeah,
whoever
and,
in your state of residence, whoever is at the governor's mention, that has more of an impact on your everyday life. But Negroes don't pay attention to that. They're just, they're, you know, it was all, oh, we got it, but my president's black. Okay, but who the fuck's your governor? I mean.
Yeah, because I know, like, I was, like, I, you know, and many people may not know, but I live in Phoenix, Arizona. And you remember a couple of years ago, that's when the Super Bowl was here. And a couple months ago, then Governor Jan Brewer, she denied it. But the Congress there, the local politicians there, we're going to place a, push a law saying that gay people could be turned away at bars, restaurants, and night service based on that bar that establishment's religious belief. That made national news. And it ended up, NFL, they was like, nah, we're not coming if you push this. But if the NFL never said anything with that Super Bowl, because people know Super Bowl brings millions of dollars.
Yep.
If they didn't say anything, guess what? The law might have passed. That money started talking, even at the local level. And I remember Jason Black, a.k.a. Black Authority, people that I know, did a video talking about how, like, in Ferguson, Missouri, where Mike Brown got murdered by Darren Wilson, and Darren Wilson should be in prison right now over that, at least on manslaughter or something. It's like how the mayor of Ferguson only ran on a campaign fund of $2,600. And they could break down how people donate. Business owners donate $100, $200. Lawyers may donate $300. And people, black people think it's always one, like, just Goldman Sachs. No. There's a lot of $50, $100, $200, $300, $400, $500 donations for average Joes as well. And it adds up.
And it has a lot bigger impact at your local level.
Yeah.
I'm going to sound like a broken record, but I'm going to piss off a lot of people, and I don't care. You know, if Negroes paid more attention to their local elections, like you're talking, and not just the mayor, but, again, think about this. Those judges, you know, when you got those cops who are, like, pulling over black people, and, you know, you probably get a bigger fine if you're black than probably if they even pulled a white person. Or, you know, if you get caught smoking a joint, whereas the white kid, the judge will let him go. The black kid, they'll send you, you know, say to jail. I mean, wasn't in Pennsylvania, there was a case of a judge who got arrested because he was getting bribes from those private prisons to sentence black kids, you know, so the private prisons can make money. Those positions, those kind of judges, those are elected positions. But yet, folks are not paying attention and not voting them out.
Yeah, and see, that's the stuff where people don't look at, and it don't even hold them accountable. It's like, even like, let's say Loretta Lynch, for example. How many black people even know, I know she's federal level, but how many black people even know that she even talked about, worried about giving police officers morale, like worried about their morale, even though they have one of the safest jobs in the country? There's a majority of police officers who never even pull out their weapon the whole time they ever been on duty.
Well, I don't know if she really meant that, or she had to, again, tap dance, you know, because, hey, for all we know, let's be honest, for all we know, from Barry O to Eric Holder to Loretta Lynch and any other Negro in a symbolic position, you know, they might, the powers that be may have told them, you know, you step this inch out of life, we may not kill you, but, you know, you're going to lose some family members and, you know, hey, just like the powers that be sent that message to Bill Cosby when they killed his son and he didn't get the memo and tried to, you know, set up a network again, which is why now they cover rape allegations, but, you know, going off on a tangent. But we don't know what kind of threat those guys are under as far as, I'm talking about real stuff that could really fuck them over and their loved ones. So.
And also, it could be just simple as, who's paying them? Who's cutting the checks? Because I know, in California, I think it was in Los Angeles, because I don't have the article in front of me, so anybody out there correct me if I'm wrong, where the police chief went to court. He's a Latino, man. I think he's a Mexican. Went to court to fight so that illegal immigrants don't have their cars towed if they get pulled over, so that it's inconvenience to them. He fought for his people. So he's showing he's like a Latino man first. But when we have black people in those positions, they are too afraid to even fight. If you fight and lose, I could take that over not fighting at all. And he actually got it pushed, I think, at our Mexican police chief.
Well, hey.
I think he won. Correct me, don't quote me on that, but I think he won.
Well, here's the problem. Negroes are too busy, expecting for Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and the NAACP to do something. And if it's not that, then I'm sorry, I don't take the Black Lives Matter movement seriously, you know, or as this guy on YouTube, Obsidian Media Network, calls Black Lives Fecal Matter Bowel Movement. Because think about it. First of all, they're funded by George Soros, so you got some rich white guy who's funding them. And second of all, who are the quote-unquote leaders, the faces that they keep on pushing out there? Just people, you know, they're not so much, I mean, they talk about Black Lives Matter, but their whole thing is about, well, it was started by some queer women, you know. They're really more about, you know, pushing the gay agenda than anything.
Yeah.
It's a whole intersectionality, fourth wave feminism bullcrap. You know?
Yeah, because I have an uncle who's gay, ironically, and we was talking about this stuff. He's not even in the gay movement. He don't even care about it. Cause he says a bunch of white supremacists that run that stuff. And he said people don't realize a lot of white supremacists gay guys. They don't care about black gays. And I was wishing black gay people would realize that.
No.
They're being used. So,
yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Because, like, even like, let's put it like Melissa Harris Perry. And this is what Negroes get it wrong. And I give Yvette Cardell credit. I never really paid attention to Melissa Harris Perry. Never watched the show. But we're talking about like how she, Al Sharpton, called the Negro Whisperers. When Obama's getting ready to leave office, they're going to be out.
They're going to get rid of them.
Yeah, and I don't blame them because what's the point of having them? But here's the thing. All these black folks talk, you tell her, Melissa, you do this. I'm like, don't you know that she all she had to do was just sit there and collect her money? But she acting a fool now that she might have actually breached the contract, depending on the language of it. And she may not get another job after that because of how she carried on.
Well, you know, Obsidian from the Obsidian Media Network on YouTube, one of the things he was talking about was what she could have done with the how well she was getting paid. She could have saved up her money. You know, she already has an audience. She could have set up herself a YouTube, just like Boyce Watkins does stuff on YouTube now, you know. She could have translated that to monetize it as well as have a platform, you know. But no, too busy being
you know
a Negro with her bedwitch.
You know who done a great job of it? And a lot of black people don't see the bigger picture of this guy. It's Tom Likens. A lot of black people love talking about dudes, like he's talking about the women, relationships, stuff like that. But he even said, hey, I ain't like the direction the show was going. I was on CBS Radio. I think it was CBS Clear. I forgot what it was, Clear Channel, whatever. So they let him sit out. It was CBS. They let him sit at home. And he collected his money, and he saved his money and created his own radio network. So he can talk about whatever he wants, have sponsors he wants, and employ his friends. But Melissa Harris Perry, Al Sharpton aren't doing that.
Nope.
They just, and like, it's so because a job can end any day. You can get that tap on the shoulder. Even, especially in that industry. You get that tap on the shoulder, ratings go down, say, hey, we're going to move you here, we're going to bump you. And that's and what's going to happen.
And that's another thing. Melissa Harris Perry, Al Sharpton, I mean, look, Fox News, MSNBC, say whatever you want. You know, we can say they're supposed to have journalistic integrity, all that blah, blah, blah. Bottom line, they're for-profit businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in the business of ratings. You don't generate ratings, it ain't going to happen. No matter how smart that person is, no matter how truthful what they say is, you know, even if Melissa Harris Perry was the most brilliant analyst, which, I'm sorry, she's a feminist, it kind of makes me doubt her sanity, but, you know, let's say that I would still, if that's not what the market wants, it ain't going to fly.
Mm-hmm. Now, listen to what she was saying, read that letter. I remember the letter was posted. I'm like, oh, now you're not a feminist. Now you're a black woman. Where, and this just ties in what we talked about earlier. Where's Gloria Allred? Where's the National Organization of Women? Where are all these women's groups?
They're too busy going after Bill Cosby's.
Yep. Hey, Don, I think I lost you there. So,
yeah,
hey,
lost
I
lost
think...
you for a second. And I said they're busy going after Bill Cosby's money.
Yep. That too. Or NFL players, domestic violence. There's a lot of show topics coming off this conversation. But, and the thing is I look at it like this. She actually had, Melissa Harris Perry has an audience. So she could have done a Tom Likens route, taking that. And Tom even said, hey, I don't make as much money as I did terrestrial radio, but I have my own. But it's mine. It's my baby. This is what I'm doing. And everybody worked there. His the three guys he employed, his friends. And
yeah,
so he got them
jobs. Listen. What you are suggesting would require a degree of logical thinking,
yeah,
and strategic planning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, some of those. I'm sorry, but I don't know Melissa Harris Perry, but the few little bits and snippets I've heard about her and stuff, you know, I don't know how good she is at strategic planning and all that. You know, again, that's gonna piss off a lot of folks, but you know, anybody who's heavy into the whole feminism thing, yeah, they could probably plan strategically when they're trying to find a way to harm men at the legal level, social level, but when it comes to really doing something productive, constructive, I don't really know how good their strategic planning skills are.
Yeah. And because, especially in the media, once those ratings go down or they don't need you anymore, they'll tell you they're moving you. That's just the way it is. And that's like many jobs out there now. Any day you get that, you get a tap on the shoulder, say, hey, come to HR.
Yeah.
It can happen to anybody. So the gravy train doesn't last forever unless you're like Bill O'Reilly or Sean Hannity or like Wolf Blitzer or somebody. You know.
In other words, you got the complexion for the protection, yeah.
That too. Don Lemon, you better be on the lookout. You know. Yeah, so be on the lookout, Don. Not you, but Don Lemon.
Lemon is turning sour.
Yeah, I'm saying. So you better be on the lookout too. And I just, you know, and see, and the thing that gets me is that, like, I just hate the fact that, like, back to, like, we talk about this, like, election, that so many black people are just scared of people. I'm like, why are you scared of white people still? Why are we still scared of white people? Why haven't we done like everyone else and built economies? Because I always tell people, I told an ex-girlfriend of mine one time, I was like, look at your local grocery store. And I said, you got people here who got, let's say, your business owners. Look at your local grocery store. Especially a nicer neighborhood, decent neighborhood, you'll see your grocery store there. You may have like a pet shop, a groomer shop. Then you may have a dry cleaner, a couple of little places to grab a sandwich. You may have your bank that's close by. You may have a dry cleaner there. You know, stuff like that where you got people congregating together, because the average person would be like, well, while I'm getting food for dinner, I can pick my dry cleaning up and drop it off because it's right here. And,
yep.
And I said, those people built that, got that one thing. But I said to me, those black people out here trying to be like on our own. But those people act against your own shit, because guess what? That one dry cleaner can make the grocery store more money, you know? Or like that pet shop, or that grocery store make that pet shop a little bit more money. Because I'll pick up some food while I pick Fido up. And they go look out for each other, because they all helping each other out. They're tied in. And I said, that's what we're missing. And that we use that money to buy your local mayor, your governor, your city councilman for certain things.
Well, here's the other thing. I'm not an economist or anything, but I hear a lot of the social conscious folks are talking about, you know, buy black, support black. Fine. They always want to disparage. If you work a 9-to-5 job, oh, you're a slave and stuff because you work for the white man. I don't hear, as much as I hear about start your business, buy black, I don't hear any of them talk about hiring black people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everybody wants to be their own one-man enterprise, but they don't want to, you know. My thing is, you know, you don't buy black, sell black. No. Yeah, you want to buy black to support a black business. You want to hire black to make sure black people get money. But you want to sell to everybody, because that's what the other communities do. Say what you want, the Chinese, the Jewish, the whatever, they will get customers from every other group if possible. They'll hire their own. You know?
Yeah. I think what it is that we talk on the phone, I say, hey, hire our own, because that's how you end workplace discrimination. It's the people who have it that start a business can hire someone. Because that's no reason why we can't have a black IBM, for example, especially talented people out there. But here's the thing that I look at. Let's go to China, because you're in Philly, so it's a Chinatown in Philly, right? You could buy whatever you want. You can eat out there all you want, but you ain't setting up shop there. But you buy what you want and get out. We don't have that mentality where, one, we don't own the property in the neighborhoods we're living in. So that's a problem. Has a whole different show. But we can have it so that, okay, let's just say you got a black town. Next thing you know, you can get that. You can have your own restaurants or whatever. Say restaurants, grocery stores. The thing is that because I know I talk to like an Asian lady I know. We talk about business a lot. Like, I am each other. And And I asked her the question about that. She was like, let's say if I got a Coke. I said, the Asian store can sell me that Coke for $2. But the other stores owned by any other group, black, white, magenta, could be $1.25. She said she will drive and pay that $2 at the Asian spot because it's staying with her people. And with black people talking about bad customer service of black people, but look at how many bad customer service they pick up in every other ethnic group. You go in the hood, you got these Middle Eastern guys that talk to you like crap, don't put the money in hand, they slide on the table, don't say nothing, watch you the whole time, but you're steady going to patronize them.
Yep.
The customer service, all you got to do is complain to the manager, and that manager's going to fix it. That's not, because sometimes that manager may not know.
Oh, a lot of black folks still got the slave mentality. But you know what, though?
Go ahead.
But there's something to be said about, well, I know a lot of Haitian-owned business customer service can be really shitty. Like, you know, when I was a child, both when I was in Haiti and when I lived in Africa, almost every damn business you went to, whether it was black-owned or the Arabs or whatever, they always used to have this thing. If you trust it in English, it says the client, you know, in the U.S. it says clients are right, customers are right. It said the client is king. I don't think a lot of black businesses have that philosophy anymore.
Yeah, because what happens is when you say client is king. Oh, yeah, by the way, people, number 347-850-1065. And, yes, I do go off topic sometimes, but it's not really a topic show if you got good conversation. Here's the thing. We talk about that customer service. We have unrealistic expectations for black businesses as well, in my opinion. And sometimes a simple complaint to a manager could just go a long way. But also what happens is word of mouth could go a long way. Treat your people right. And I remember Black Authority even said this. People talking about having a black business directory. He was like, why do you need one? Your money should be going to advertise. Because he said, you don't see nobody having a pizza directory with Papa John's or Pizza Hut. People know where they are. People know who they are. They put money in advertising, letting people know who they are. We have to go all in on this stuff because you got all kind of business. Like, I remember he showed like the books on who donated. It was like mechanics who donated, like auto shop owners, mechanics were donating to the mayor and city councilman, dentists, all lawyers, all kind of professional people who own businesses. All kind of all kind of businesses who owners who donated to that stuff. That's the stuff where we as a people aren't getting. And because I always say the most powerful people in town are the business owners. They control the jobs. Because like in my hometown, I told you it's a Black Authority show. In my hometown, Montgomery, Alabama, my cousin, she works at the Hyundai plant. You look at it, over 10,000 people, employees working there, which is good because you got a lot of people in the town, in the surrounding towns got work, which is good. You know, I'm all about people getting work because I believe most people just want to have a decent job, take care of their families, send their kid to a decent school. But what my cousin was saying was the owner got it so that the police cannot patrol there. The only time the police could come is if they're called. And we know how he got it that way. You know this thing called a brown paper bag. I'm just saying. You don't get that because you say it. You probably slid something in there and say you want these jobs here. So you're going to do this. But how many black businesses are willing to slide some money to the mayor, the city council? Hey, I don't need any police being out here all the time. We'll call them. Because I got to figure it is. I got like. Because I, you know, Boyce Watkins and other people, you know, I see, they have pages. I participate in the conversation sometimes. There are black men who get mad at me and fight for socialism. And I just asked them, I said, find me a socialist government currently in use that is trumping our capitalist system. Now, I said, if you talk about the moral aspect of capitalism, I got nothing to say about that. But I said, there's no such thing as clean money.
I guess the difference in capitalism and what some people call crony capitalism, where, you know, government get bought off. That's a whole other conversation. But to tie in the tangent as far as customer service with the upcoming election, what folks need to understand is that we are the customer of those politicians. So if they don't give us good customer service, we shouldn't patronize them. I mean, mm-hmm. How do I put? Politicians are supposed to serve their constituency. And you're right, it's more than just the vote. But, you know, instead of putting all this energy and focusing on who's going to be president, again, it goes back to what I said before, at a presidential election, all those other positions are also up for grabs, especially at the local level. So black people, I think they need to focus more at the local level. What's going to really affect them? I mean, I don't know. There's not much else I can say. I mean, this is not my area of expertise, but all I can say is after living in the United States for, what, almost 15 years, I just realized that most folks don't pay attention, you know? I mean, yeah, they want to vote when it comes to president and stuff, but they don't pay attention to the real politics that affects them, which is the local level.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, so many don't even, it's like that time, even like, because, you know, so many black people vote Democrat. Even when Obama had like the majority Democrat in Congress, the black people loving that, they didn't even come out for that. And the Republicans took over. Now you mad. And I'm like, you can't get mad at that.
That's one thing Republicans do all the time. They mobilize their people to vote. They're more consistent.
Mm-hmm. And they are. And they don't joke on that. And the thing is that they do mobilize over us. We don't mobilize. We just think goodwill is going to take the day here. Like, no, it isn't.
Okay, you know why I always say, you know how I know people say when I would say you Americans never cease to amaze me? Some people get pissed off. Why are you hearing that? Look, here's what I don't understand. But then again, the average Negro doesn't even understand a damn thing about American foreign policy. But for as much as the U.S. sticks its nose in other countries' businesses, always want to stick its nose to try to promote democracy everywhere and they want to supervise elections and stuff. But yet, young Americans don't fucking vote in your own damn elections, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. if you guys get, what, a 70% voter turnout overall, it would be a miracle. I mean, say what you want. Even in countries like Iran, which is an Islamic Republic, the Islamic Republic of Iran, they elect the Ayatollah, the supreme leader, you know, that religion, they're not elected, but, you know, they elect their president, their government and stuff, and they have a higher percentage of their electorate that participates in the U.S. I mean, Turkey, okay, they have a secular government. Turkey, a Muslim country, they've had a female prime minister before. Pakistan, which is a very, you know, I mean, they're a U.S. ally, but, you know, it's kind of ambiguous. You know, those radical Islam has a pretty strong hold over there. They've had a female prime minister before. You know, they get more people participate. The U.S. doesn't. I mean, I don't know. I'm really going off on a tangent. You know, I'm getting delirious and, you know, this whole thing will get me worked up. I mean, fuck, even in Haiti, as bad of a track record we've had, you know, in the democratic system, we get better voter turnout than here in the States. But the only reason we get low voter turnout is because there is active voter suppression in the form of people either shooting or looting the places and looting the polls and stealing the urns. But, you know, we get more of a voter turnout than you do in the States, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. I think the apathy is a real problem.
Yep. And I believe also could be the fact that people may seem a little disenfranchised with it, because I don't know about you, but it seems like, let's say with black people, there's a disconnect when it comes to younger black people and the older black people. When it comes to this political process, economic, civil rights, there's a big disconnect there.
Yeah.
Because you got a lot of black people, our generation and younger. I'll say the 40 and under group who are like, hey, begging white people for opportunity and begging white people to be nice to us, it ain't working. Martin Luther King got shot wearing a suit.
Yep.
You know, Malcolm X got shot wearing a suit. A lot of black people got bitten, chewed up by dogs and garden hoses, not garden hoses, but fire hoses sprayed on them while wearing suits. That ain't working. Trying to be nice. I'm not advocating violence at all. I am not.
I don't advocate offensive violence, but I do advocate violence if you defend yourself.
Yeah, because I'm not advocating violence, like you said, offensive, because it's a problem, black people. We don't make guns. We don't make bullets. That's a problem.
Yep.
And you know this. War is fought with people. The winner of wars generally have the most resources.
Yep. And here's another thing I think Negroes need to learn, too. And that's something, I don't know if you remember Pastor Damon, who comes to have called the Lance Girl Show. But somebody had asked about the whole turn the other cheek. You know, a lot of people, that's a problem with a lot of Negroes who want to claim Christianity but don't understand. The whole thing about turn the other cheek, it had nothing to do with just be a doormat and let people walk all over you. You turn the other cheek when you're being persecuted because of your religion, of your faith. But black people are not being persecuted for being Christian or whatever. Black people are being persecuted for being black. When somebody wants to harm, has something against you, wants to harm you, kill you, they're not coming after your faith for the sake of, you know, of your God. That's, you don't turn the other cheek. You defend yourself. You know? You don't just lay down and take it, you know, just give your vote blindly to the Democratic Party. You know? You got to be a mercenary. Sometimes you may have to vote for the Republican person if what their agenda, their party stuff is more in line with what you want to do. Or you might have to go the independent route, especially at the local level, the grassroots level. Let me say this one thing. I'm about to get in the house. I don't get too loud because I think it's the wife and daughter.
Yeah, because I'm going to get off here in a bit myself.
Yeah. White people started the Tea Party, you know, when they got to, you know, to go against Obama. Why don't Negro, you know, because you had the white people who were not satisfied with the status quo with the Republicans, and that's why they did the Tea Party. Why don't Negroes start the iced tea or the Kool-Aid party? Come on. I mean, no, think about it. Black Panthers. People just think about them as, you know, with the berets and the open carry. Because, you know, it was the Black Panthers who were the first people talking about the right to bear arms, you know, and the whole gun control thing. The NRA was pushing for gun control when they saw Negroes exercising their Second Amendment right. So, you know, the Black Panthers were a political party. I mean, I met Bobby Seale. He came to Slippery Rock when I was an undergrad. That's how I learned about the Black Panthers, from the very man who started it himself.
Yeah. And
not Negroes. I mean, I heard there's a new Black Panther Party. I don't know. I don't think they're the same thing. You know, I know Black Panthers were infiltrated, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, you can start something at the local level, or you don't even have to have an organized into a party. They can do stuff at the grassroots level. Do not be dependent on the pussycrats and the Republicans. That's all I'm saying.
with our stuff.
And
what?
I did say Pussycraft and Republicans. That's what I said, yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? If we start something, we shouldn't be always trying to be so inclusive either. Maybe we need to be a little exclusive.
Yep.
And that includes other black people. Just be exclusive. Can't let everybody in. You know, and I believe that's the thing that what people are missing. But, hey, I want to say thanks. I'll probably do one on Sunday as well. And hopefully this mic sounds better than me and my cell phone days. by the way, how did I sound so far?
It sounded good. It's just I had some spots where, you know, it kind of sounded like talking to Transformer, but that's probably because I was driving, you know.
Okay, yeah, just making sure.
Spot.
All right, yeah,
I'm did not offend anybody, you know. I'm surprised nobody called in telling me, hey, go back to your country, you know, you're a diff American and all that stuff.
But, yeah, I'll probably do one Sunday because a lot of things will get off my chest. I want to talk about President Obama as well, and that's a whole different show in itself. And, like, what black people don't understand is I have no hate towards the man. I have no real beef. But it's more about how we are when it comes to symbolic figures.
I have nothing against the man either. Personally, I don't know him. I mean, I don't know. I'm not like Sarge who thinks he's an incarnation of pure evil. I don't think he's a dust. You know, I don't know. You know, now as far as his eligibility for president, I mean, I thought you had to have both parents be citizens, you know, to be a natural born citizen. But that's a, you know, that's a whole birth argument. However, he's a Democrat. The Democratic Party is in bed with this guy called Aristide in Haiti that I loathe. So I hold them all guilty, and he's guilty by association. Not as much as the Clintons and the Gores and Kerry and Maxine Waters and the Congressional Black Caucus, but, yeah, he's guilty. So, you know. What can I say? I think he lacked testicular fortitude on the political level. But, you know, hey.
And you know one thing also you thought about? And I'm not slamming black people as a whole on this. God knows what I do is on Facebook. There's certain groups I'm in. Because I don't really go deep in my personal page that often. But like certain groups I'm in. When you talk about stuff, topics like this, or even had shows like this, you don't really get much turnout. But with black people, we talk about relationships, people come out to woodwork.
Oh, I
know. And like in groups and everything, and I'm thinking to myself, we got to get a little bit deeper than that. Now, you know, there are guys like, I shout them out, like Alan Roger Curry, who he makes his bread and butter, but when it comes to talking about serious issues, he's in. He's all in. And you know, so I shout him out. He's a good brother. And happy birthday, Alan. But anyway,
it's
I hope you eat the wings at Peach and Apple.
Be bold.
Yeah. Talk to Denise Bowles?
No, I said he got to be bold. You know, that's
yeah.
the thing. You know, and I think his analysis is right. Trump, as far as on the political side, Trump is not mode one. If anything, he's more like a mode four. And Barack Obama is definitely, politically speaking, mode three. All right?
That beta male, baby.
Yeah.
And you know, and what I was saying is that black people, for example, just think about this. It's okay to talk about relationships, dating. I don't knock it because I talk about it sometimes. And I'm going to talk about it sometimes here. But there's a lot of other stuff going on right now that will actually affect our relationships. Like one thing, economics, that we need to focus on as well. But I'm going to, hey, Doug, I want to say thanks for calling in. We turned this to a podcast. but hey, thanks, because I'm going to shut this down, man. And I'm going to go ahead and get going my evening and stuff. So I got to call some family members back, too, anyway.
All right, bro.
Hey, if I set up something for Sunday, I'll send it to you. You know what to do.
All right. And ladies, remember, when you listen to this podcast, T. Smitty is not your baby dad.
Hey, also, hey, tell the family I said hello to, man.
Will do. Take care.
All right, you take it easy. Hey, guys out there, say thanks. I know people going to download this. I want to thank you guys in advance for downloading this. First time back in about, I think it was 2 or 3 years now doing blog talk. But, hey, I just want to say thank you for those who listened and going to download this broadcast. And I'm going to do shows more often. And hope, you know, I just want to make people smarter. And I also want to make myself smarter. And I want to strike up good conversation as well. So I like learning from y'all. Hey, you guys have a great weekend. Stay out of trouble. And remember, if you had a little too much to drink, call that Uber. Hey, you guys have a great day. Y'all take it easy.